In 2008, a song came out by a band called The Killers called Human. And the song was really popular dance song all over the world. And it has a strange chorus that says, "Are we human or are we dancer?" Now, my roommate and I in seminary would often ask each other this: are we human or are we dancer? And usually one of us would declare with a smile on our face that we were dancer, and then awkwardly whip out a rhythmless dance move, much to the other person's delight. Usually we were joking around with each other. But sometimes we were asking that question for real. Were we human, or were we something else? What were we? Sometimes we felt more like machines, reading book after book, writing paper after paper. Other times we didn't want to be human, with all of the strangeness or pain of human life. At times we longed to feel less like machines. At other times we wanted to just escape the monotony or the pain of life. But whatever answer we gave, or whatever dance move we butchered, it never really changed the reality. We were and are human. That's not a changeable, debatable thing. We are human. And that's part of what this list of names in Matthew is trying to say. Even if other things are true, even if Jesus is God, even if Jesus is a miracle worker, even if Jesus is a dancer, Jesus is entirely human. Jesus is a person, a man, a human being. Matthew is not saying Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew is saying God is one of us. God is a human. Or as John puts it, the Word actually became flesh. The genealogy says that Jesus is one of us. It connects Jesus with the Jewish people. It's not just a boring list of names. These are fathers and grandfathers and great-grandmothers. These are relatives and ancestors. And they're attention-grabbing relatives. This list is full of superstars and surprises. It begins with Abraham, the father of all of Israel. And then there's Isaac and Jacob, people who we know well. But there are also foreigners on the list. And there are women, something that's surprising for a genealogy of this time. And there are kings and a psalmist and even a prophet. This list is full of fascinating people. And the names tell a fascinating story. It begins with a great ascension, building and building to the mighty kingdom of David. Then it begins to plummet and spiral downward into judgment with unfaithful king after unfaithful king. And finally, we end with names that many of us would not recognize, but building toward a hopeful birth, a birth of a baby, a birth of one of us. These aren't just names. These are family. These are people. And that's important because the Israelites were waiting for one of us, for one of their people. The prophet Isaiah spoke about this, about our child, our son. Isaiah 9 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Israel was waiting for one of their people, waiting for a king to come and rule on the throne of David. And Matthew is proclaiming that that person, that child, that grandson has come. A son of Abraham who will be a blessing to all people, the hope of the entire world. A son of David who will be the Messiah, who will rule as king forever. Our child, our son, the long-awaited one has come. God has been faithful. God has not forgotten us. A light has come to the darkness. God has come. God is with us. And more than that, God is one of us. This is so powerful and so personal. This time of year, one of the most important things to people is being together. Matriarchs and patriarchs all across the country have been cleaning spare bedrooms, putting fresh sheets on beds, filling fridges with food and eggnog and cupboards with cookies, expecting their family to come to be with them. Weather forecasters have become the most watched TV personalities in the nation. And airports are jam-packed with people just trying to get home or to friends for Christmas. Being with people is important. Physical presence is important. I heard a song a few weeks ago that probably many of you have heard called Text Me Merry Christmas by Straight No Chaser and Kristen Bell. And the song begins with these lyrics. This holiday you'll be far away and I'll be all alone. So please remember this December to fully charge your phone. And text me Merry Christmas. Let me know you care. Just a word or two from you will remind me you're still there. Now it's a playful song, but this struck me as a really empty feeling song. Text me Merry Christmas sounds so cold and distant. You can't hear a voice. You can't see a face. You can't give a hug or touch a hand. Skype me Merry Christmas would be a big improvement, I think. Anyone here who's away from family today knows the gift of Skype, to be able to see and hear your family members. But as a friend of mine told me, you can't hug Skype. You know, when he was away from his wife, he just wanted to hug her, and you couldn't hug Skype. It's better than texting, but it still can't replace the power and delight of being physically present with someone. We want to be with people at Christmas. Matthew begins his gospel by telling us that God came close to us. God didn't perform mighty acts from afar. God didn't appear in a cloud to speak to his people. God didn't text or Skype. God came. John says the Word became flesh, incarnation. Matthew says Jesus came as a human, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of Mary. Jesus is one of us. Jesus knows what it's like to be human. A song we just sang once in Royal David's City in verse 3 captures this well. Jesus knows what it's like to be human. Jesus knows what it's like to delight in good food and to be moved by beautiful music. Jesus knows the beauty of loving relationships and the gnawing pain of broken ones. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted and feel abandoned by God the Father. Jesus knows what it's like to be human, what it's like to be us. And God came, our God came to be human. Jesus is one of us. And God being human is so powerful. A Hindu man named Desh, who was part of our church for a while, whom some of you might know, came about 2 years ago, and a member of our church met with him regularly to tell him about Jesus and the Bible. And Desh really latched on to Jesus. And one time he said that the reason he liked Christianity is because God became a human in Jesus. He said in Hinduism there are lots of gods, lots and lots of gods, but none of them became human. The God, the Creator, did not lower himself to become human. But Jesus did. God loves us so much that God became one of us. Jesus came to us, and that was so powerful for Desh. And it's really an amazing thing. Other religions have a book, or gods that visit Earth, or half gods and half humans. And followers of other religions are constantly striving to be like those gods. All people slip into this. We slip into this. We try to be more than human. One of the first stories in the Bible is about people building a tower so that they can be great like God. They want to elevate themselves. People try so hard to become better and to become more. But it never works. We can't save ourselves. We can't become God. So in Jesus, the all-powerful, almighty creator of the earth came down and became one of us. It's bizarre, maybe even ridiculous, but that's what we celebrate today. God did not expect us to come to God. God came to humans. God did not remain distant and far away like the sender of a text message. But God came through God's people, through Father Abraham and King David and a young woman named Mary. God loved his creatures and creation so much that God became one of us. This is the wonder and joy of Christmas. Perhaps if the band The Killers came out with a Christmas album, like most bands try to do these days, they might make a sequel to their song Human. And the chorus would ask a different question. Is he human or is he other? And maybe depending on the sermon or the situation in life, the answer to that question would be different. But even if many things are true, even if Jesus is divine or savior and holy other, Jesus is entirely human. Jesus is one of us. Thanks be to God.